All right, we're going to continue with spiritual gifts. And I'm just going to have one thing I left from last week when we talked. It's from 2 Timothy 1:6. And it says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now that word "stir up" means to kindle or to fan the flames. It's like a billow where you have a fireplace and you take that thing and that's the idea behind stirring up the gift. So sometimes people will lay hands on people. I've done that several thousand times in my life and said, "Well, God's going to use you in the gifts of healings." And part of stirring it up is going to God. And if you know God's beginning to use you in a gift, you not only read about that gift and ask the Lord to show you about that gift, because that's part of the stirring. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by declaring, and declaring by the word of God. So you're thanking God for the gift. You're stirring yourself up. You're reading stories of supernatural events in the Bible to help build your spirit up. You're doing stuff like you're doing here to help stir it up. You're coming to Spirit-filled living and you're learning all these things that Neil's teaching you. And that's all part of the stirring or fanning the flames of fire. And not only that, it's stirring it up, but it's stirring up your mind, it's stirring up your strength, and it's stirring up your spiritual strength, and it's supposed to stir up your zeal. I'm 71, but I still have the same zeal for God that I had when I got saved at 35. And I hope to carry that zeal to the second my heart stops. And then I'm really going to have zeal. I'm going to have the super zeal, whatever that looks like. I'd like to come back and tell you about it for those of you that are younger, but I won't be back. Thank you. And if you ever want to get punched in the mouth, try raising me from the dead. All right, so let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm just going to start with the first verse, and I'm going to skip to verse 7, because Neil covered some of that in the class that was taught before this, and there's no sense going over it. All right, now concerning, if you have your Bibles and you open up, I'm quoting this from the New King James. Now concerning spiritual gifts, and you'll notice in your Bible that gifts should be in italics, which means it was added to the English language to make the Greek make more sense. So when you're reading your Bible, it does not, when the writers put this together, they did not do it to throw you off. They were very respectful of God's word. And so an italics word has to fit within the context of what they're trying to say to you. And as you can see, as we progress down in 1 Corinthians 12, the main focus in 1 Corinthians 12 is on gifts. So for them to put that word "spiritual" and then add "gifts" was okay, because it didn't take away from the context of what is being said. So really what it's saying is now concerning what? Spirituals. Or now concerning things that are coming from the kingdom of God, or now concerning things that are invisible with power, or now concerning things that have a spiritual effect. But it's all spiritual. And so these nine gifts that we're going to talk about are spiritual gifts. You could have the gift of hospitality, or you could have the gift of mercy, or you could have the gift of helps, or you could have the gift of administration. Well, they're not supernatural by nature. They're part of who we are, and those are also considered gifts. But these nine gifts that we're talking about are strictly a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. They have to go through the Holy Ghost to get to you. And then he uses this word, "I do not want you to be ignorant." Ignorant is, in this particular case, not a negative word, where like we would say, we use that word sometimes. well, you're an ignoramus or something like that. That's not what it's talking about. Here, it's talking about that you don't know or that you do not understand. Now, understanding is a huge word. So let me define it this way. As far as we would use that word in the Greek language, understanding is the sphere of divine influence. Understanding is the sphere of divine influence that defines the whole circuit. That defines the whole circuit of a man's thoughts or actions. Understanding is the sphere of divine influence that defines the whole circuit of man's thoughts and actions. Understanding is the spiritual heart of a person. That word actually comes out in the Greek as cardia, or cardiac is where we got our word cardiac from. That's what that word comes from. It comes from the Greek cardia. So what it's basically saying is, I want you to be able to understand, so this thing is in your understanding of the spirituals is actually the whole sphere of divine influence in your own life. That kind of deepens what you're reading in the Word, doesn't it? It becomes part of you. The gifts of the Spirit are part of me. And it directs a lot of my influence in the way I think and the way I act. Because I understand what God has given me. And it has just penetrated me and saturated me, so it's the sphere or the core of my understanding. It's not just reading something. Amen? Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Let me read this so you understand how Paul loves to talk about this subject. And this all relates to spiritual gifts. So let's go to Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask. Whenever Paul is saying we don't cease to pray for you, his desire is whoever he's speaking to or writing to or declaring things over, he wants them to get it. He wants them to get it like we get it. He teaches, I teach, because we want you to get and experience the blessings that we've gotten by what? By studying this, by declaring it over our lives, by believing for it, by receiving it before we saw it, to see the benefits and the experience of being able to walk in the supernatural, even though you don't feel adequate to do it. Remember what I said? Your greatest attribute about spiritual gifts is your inadequacy to do it. Because then you'll see God do it in you. That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom, here it is, and spiritual understanding. Knowledge is another thing that, I don't know if it's in here, I think it is, when you know something, knowing is just not knowing it because you read it. Knowing has the idea of a beginning, a process, to an end. I can't in any way, shape, or form read 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, and when I'm through reading, have all the knowledge of how spiritual gifts work. There's the knowledge of how they work. There's the definitions on how they work, because the definitions have everything to do. The way they're constructed in the language has everything to do with their operation. And then by have this, and we're going to get into this, by having this communication or discourse with God, and through the actions of the Holy Spirit moving in me, I know what spiritual gifts are. Because it's had a beginning, it had a process, and it had an end. Questions so far? Anything? Comments? We're good? That you may walk, verse 10 in Colossians, worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of who? Of God. Your pursuit in this life is the pursuit of who God is. Make your pursuit in Christianity the pursuit of who God is. And everything else falls into place from there on. Not what am I supposed to be doing, not how many people I'm supposed to touch, but make your pursuit then who God is and what His nature is. And everything else will just foam from that place. Foam. Kaboomba. Strengthened in all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, not because of anything you do, because He went, you're qualified. What do I have to do to be qualified? Believe in Him. Qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has past tense, delivered us from the power of darkness, and what? Conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Past tense. You don't need deliverance. You've been delivered. Darkness is not supposed to have authority over you. Period. End of conversation. Your deliverance is catching up to the Word. Your deliverance is catching up to your inheritance package. Your deliverance is carrying up to your position and your power and your authority in Christ. That's your deliverance. Sorry about that. 1 Corinthians 12:8. Let's pick it up there, or 12:7. I'll just quote that. So we're going to pick it up. You can read 3, 4, and 5. Neil's pretty much going over that. I want to move on a little so I don't see if I can work this in the next hour. 12:7 is an extremely important verse. For the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the benefit of all. There is no reason that the whole body of Christ should not be operating in the gifts of the Spirit, because when they're in and the interpretation is coming very shortly. When those gifts are in operation, they bring a benefit to the body and they bring a profit to the body, because that's what that says. So why wouldn't we take something that God has presented to us and use it, because it's going to benefit, according to the kingdom, every person that comes in contact with it? So we don't have any excuse in the body of Christ for not using spiritual gifts. And if we say, well, they're a negative or they passed away, they haven't. There's no record in the Bible of that. For to one, verse 12:8, 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. For to one is given a word of wisdom, to another is given a word of knowledge. Now the Bible says that every good, James says this, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. So every gift that God gives us is good, and every gift is perfect. So these two gifts, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, when they are in operation, will be perfect according to the kingdom. The only people that can mess it up is who? Us. But the gift is perfect. And the word of knowledge in the first century is operating in the same perfection as the word of knowledge is operating in the 21st century, because the one it's going through is perfect, who is the Holy Ghost. There is not an imperfection. When we get to the gifts of healing, the gifts of healings, they operate perfectly. So when the gifts of healings are in full operation, whatever they're designed to do will bring the result. That's where we have our biggest problem. Because the gift is perfect. When it's in operation, somebody's getting healed. Otherwise, the word of knowledge would be guesswork. It's not meant to be that way. These gifts are perfect. So when they come out in demonstration, they're designed to do what they're created, what God created them to do in perfection. So when I get a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or discerning of spirits, and I'm in contact with that, it's coming out just like if Jesus was standing there doing it. Are you with me? And we'll run into all the problems we get to in the gifts of healings. Amen. All right. Word is logos. And that is, now don't, you know, I wrote it up there. It's just one expression that's used in with theologians to do this. But basically what this word means is you communicating with God through the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And that communication isn't just him speaking to you. It's going to be how he communicates himself to you for you to do spiritual things. So he's taking you into account as an individual when he's using you. Isn't that wonderful? He brings it home to you as an individual. Logos is a discourse of an expression of thought or a declaration of speech which, by revelation, expresses the revealed will of God and comes with authority and power. So we're not talking about wisdom. We're not talking about human wisdom. We're not talking about the gathering of information to apply wisdom. Some of you have parents for a long time. The way you understand your children in your latter years of dealing with them, time expresses hopefully more wisdom than you did the first day. Amen or ouch, one of them will fit you. So it's not, when the Bible talks about gifts, it's not talking about wisdom. It's talking about word of wisdom. So when we try to express this, the definitions, the way they're expressed in the correct language in the Greek, translated to the English, is as important to you as understanding what those words mean. For instance, let's look at this. Let's take a modern translation. I'm not knocking it, because we have all these paraphrase Bibles that have come out. We have 63,000 new editions of the Word. And one of them is the Message Bible. Now, I'm not commenting against the Message Bible. But whenever I pick up a paraphrase Bible, the first place I go to is 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. Because I want to see how they deal with the supernatural. So in proper translation, we would, I'll take the New King James, because the New King James Version gives us a good, proper translation of the expression of the gifts of the Spirit. In the New King James, it comes out this way, just as I said to you, a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. In the Message Bible, it says wise counsel. Word of wisdom is wise counsel. Word of knowledge is clear understanding. Prophecy is proclamation. When you're dealing with prophecy, you never take the word prophecy out of Scripture and change it to something else, because it's critical. Because it covers just more than that one thing, prophecy. Prophecy, an integral part of the testimony of who Jesus is. Wise counsel, I can give people in here, if you come to me, because I've been a Christian for 35 years, I've done marriage counseling, I've counseled hundreds of people, I can give you wise counsel based on not only my experience, but talking to hundreds of other people that I have in my life. I don't need anything supernatural to do that. Are you getting the message here? So we're not talking about that kind of counsel. We're talking about something that you can't possibly know that comes boom right to you. There's no way that you can get what's coming to you, because it's coming from God. It's coming instantaneously. It's filling your head and it's asking you to do whatever that revealed will is. Are you with me? Can somebody say amen to that? Okay. Got to get a little old-time Pentecost here. Can you say, raise your hands and shout yes? I told you, I'm just as young as I was when I was 12, and I'm acting like it right now. So you don't come into a modern translation, and most likely, when I read stuff like that, I realize the person that's writing that has very little knowledge of the supernatural. I'm not saying it's heretical, but it's close to it. Because it throws you off. Nor am I saying that whole translation is. No, you can get a lot of good stuff. But don't you mess with the power of God. That's my baby. Because you're misleading people. So when it's talking about word, and it's talking about word of wisdom and word of knowledge, what are the ways in which God reveals to us a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge? It's through revelation, yes? In some form. Well, how can we look at some of the ways in which, and we'll get into more of the definitions of the word of wisdom and how they're used in the Bible and in my own life. But how can we define the ways? What are some of the ways that God reveals supernatural stuff to us? Hey, well, that's been up there for a while. All right, your turn. How does God speak to us in revealing something to us? We're going to reveal to another through getting some knowledge in our head. What are the ways in which God used men in the Bible to reveal himself for them to do something? Give me some ways. How does a word of wisdom, what? Dreams. That's one of them. Bingo. What? Signs and wonders, which would be a product of that. What? Through either prophetic prophecy. That's another one. If we have dreams, what's another one for dreams? What's a companion of dreams? Visions. Are we done? What? Through another person. Can be a Christian. Can it also be an unbeliever?
Yes.
Absolutely. Other people. Very good.
Unknowing?
What? Intuitive. Very good. Something pops into your head. It's defined this way. Why am I thinking that thought? Out of the blue, why am I thinking that thought? That's one. Yes?
How about a circumstance where you...
Experience.
Yeah, you end up doing something by accident.
Could we also say that spirit's leading?
Yeah.
All right. We'll throw that in also as an add to that. What else? Speak up, wow.
There's a voice to the Holy Spirit.
Oh, cool. But we could also say the audible voice of God. Right? Because that's one of the ways he spoke to Paul in an audible voice. That's very good. Audible voice. You guys are nailing them. What else? What?
Nature.
He can be revealed through what he created. Creation. Yeah. I go on. That's one I didn't have.
Unaudible voice.
That's part of intuitive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Physical sensation on your body?
Physical sensation on your body. We're going to find out in the gifts of healings, and even in the word of wisdom and word of knowledge, that's one that can come. And we'll explain that so you don't go nuts. Because you have to be able to discern whether that's you, you're sick, or somebody else has got something.
Would it go up being intuitive, or would that be something different?
Intuitive. All right, that's good. You guys are doing great. So let's take a quick look at these. I had number one, which was one of the first ways that I learned a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge that I was communicating to God, was a thought would come in my head, and I had no reason to have that thought in my head. Like, why am I thinking this, or as I say it, that way, or out of the blue? You're sitting somewhere, and all of a sudden you turn around, and you see her, and you hear fear. And you're wondering, because you're not thinking of anything, why she's fearful. Right, now what do I do? No, I'm not saying you're fearful. Could fit or it couldn't. But then what do you do when you hear that word?
I talk to her.
If you're used to it. But if you're not, doesn't that come on? Come on. How many know what I'm talking about? Raise your hands. Okay. All right. Well, I dropped about 1,000 of those before I started moving in them. I went, no, I'm not doing that. Or what if I go over to her and I say, well, has the Lord been dealing you with fear? And she goes, no. Nah. Come on, how many have thought that? Come on. Yeah. Come on. There's a reason that, why am I thinking this? Now, the art is going to be down the road is how to learn how to, in your workings with the Holy Spirit over a period of time, you're going to have to learn how to do that, because as you grow with the Lord, you will always not operate on that.
I think when you think that is not for you, it's like we were talking at the beginning, it's for the benefit
right.
of the body.
Right. Right.
Well, what's the difference?
And if it was a fear of finances, let's say. Let's just say there was worry about finances. Well, you don't want to worry about finances, because God's going to provide all the finances you need. Just as an example. That was a word of knowledge. Yes?
What's the difference, or is there, between a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge?
We're going to get into that. Okay, so we have the intuitive impression. Neil brought one up. Well, here's one. Here's another one. A physical leaning by the Spirit. I can remember one time when I was in Bible school, I was headed for the library, and I had my briefcase, and I was headed over to study. And I had to go across the campus and then cross a little road, the main road going into the Bible college, to the library. So I get up there, and I start walking, and I'm walking, and I'm halfway across the road, and I'm standing there like this, and I get stood straight up. My physical body just stands straight up. I know because that's the way he does that. He just locks me up. He has done that many a time, so I can't explain it. It's a freak show. So sometimes he locks me up and doesn't allow any parts of my body to move. But this one, he just wouldn't let me take another step. It's like I went like this and I just locked up. And I thought, what am I supposed to do? And I thought, well, maybe I'm supposed to go back over here. So I walk over here. I get over here. I get locked up. I walk over here. I get locked up. And then finally I said, no. I felt a strong compulsion to go this way. So I went over, and then I finally looked, and there was a bench over there, and I said, well, the heck with this. I'm just going to try to obey the Spirit when I'm feeling I'm leading. I walked over, and I sat down on the bench, and there I was sitting on the bench wondering why I'm sitting on the bench. Now, I've been in Pentecost for, 89. I've been saved for 17 years, a little bit. Had a pretty good hold on the Holy Ghost. So I knew I was supposed to sit down. I didn't know why I was supposed to sit down, but I sat down. So I sat down, and finally this lady comes by pushing a carriage, and she gets up 5 feet away from me, and the Lord just opens a scroll. And she actually walks over and sits down next to me. And I said, here's what the Lord has to say to you. And I spent about 15 minutes telling her things that were going to happen in her life and what was going on. That's being led by the Spirit. In the same Bible college one time, I was walking by, and I had my home. I lived 10 miles off campus. Actually, 20 miles off campus in an apartment complex, and with my family, my wife and my kids. And I was just walking by I was out walking one evening. I was still over at the Bible college, and I went by the men's dorm. And the men's dorm was three or four, I can't remember. I think it was four stories. Held quite a bit of men. And all of a sudden, I thought, I'll go in there. What am I going in there for? I don't know. So I walked through the front door, and the Holy Ghost says to me, just keep walking. I'll show you when to stop. So, and they weren't used to seeing me, and this was in my senior year, so they knew if I was in there walking, something was going to happen. So I walked up to the first floor, and I walked down the aisle, and I came back, and I went up to the second floor. By the time I got to the fourth floor, I had a whole entourage with me because they wanted to see what was going on. And so finally, I'm up on the fourth floor like this, and I'm walking like this, and I stop, and there's a door there, and I'm looking at the door. And the ghost says, go through the door. I go through the door. There's two guys. It's about 9 o'clock at night. There's two guys, and they're both facing each other on their knees praying. So I walk in, and I said, you two are praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and before midnight, you'll get it. Turned around, walked out, and left. 11:45, they both got baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And thank God nobody called me at 12:01 to tell me that. Right, Neil?
Right.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Similar, and we'll get into this because this is part of word of knowledge, similar to Jesus being compelled to go through Samaria. He wasn't supposed to go through. The Jews had no physical contact or fellowship with Samaritans, and there he is compelled by the Holy Spirit to go through Samaria. He didn't know why. He was just obeying. You don't know, have to know why God is leading you somewhere. You just have to be obedient. Your natural mind will try to figure it out. You'll run the math. If God's going to provide all your finances, you'll try to run the math. He doesn't need any help in providing what he's declaring to you today. You just have to receive it and believe it.
Bill, can I just share? You just reminded me. We felt called to adopt children and then to do foster care and all of that too.
Yes.
We had to think about. We started trying to launch babies, how would we do all these things?
Yes.
We literally have people dropping clothes off on our porch sometimes. We have other money, just different things God is constantly providing. So it's kind of like walking on the water. Because we don't know. We don't have all the answers.
Right.
But we're trusting Him. And we just watch it just come, come to it.
Absolutely. Right. Another way that God spoke, as we had up here, was dreams. Matthew 2:13. This is speaking of Joseph and Mary. Now when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Come on. Saying, arise, take a young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. You get revelation through visions. When I first started, when I had prayer lines going in my early ministry, when I started going out as a minister and doing tent meetings and conferences, I had to lay my hand, come over, and I had to lay my hand in top of a person's head. So I'd have a line of 25 or 30 people, and there'd be, and I'd pray for them, and then another line would come up, and however many people that wanted to come up, I prayed for them. That's what God told me to do. So I would put my hand on top of their head, and that's the only way I could get a word of knowledge. I haven't done that in 30 years, but I still get a word of knowledge. So sometimes he'll give you certain mechanics to do, but then he'll take them away and do something else. And you don't get, well, why did you do that? It's just he decided to do that, made it easy for me. But then I would sit there, and then I sometimes would get visions, and I would put my hand on their head, and then I'd look up, and he'd give me photographs. He'd give me a series of 6 or 7 photographs. And I'm sitting there like this, and I got my hand on top of their head, and I'm looking past them, and I'm watching these photographs come up. Then he would take the photographs, and he'd put them in order. And then after he put them in order, he'd write underneath what he wanted to say. What a freak show that is. That's the Kodak anointing. And then one day, it all turned into movie reels. So I just have, a lot of times I'll actually just speak what I'm watching on the movie in my head. You read about Acts chapter 10, you can write that down, you'll see a tremendous thing, and I've said this before, I said it I think in the last class, study that whole thing about the outpouring of the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the house of Cornelius and on the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. It's a wonderful picture of visions and angels and all being coordinated to bring a man that was desiring more of God and taking a guy sitting over by the ocean on top of a roof and bringing him all the way over to minister to these people. Neither one of them knew what was going to happen. They were all led by vision and led by the Spirit of God. It's a tremendous story. I've had a lot of visions. Some of them get scary because even though God's using you, and you have to remember this, sometimes he'll give you something to say. I double dare you to say this one to see if it's, because even though you're walking with God and he's using you a lot, sometimes it goes, oh, this is putting my ministry on the line. And many a times God has said, I felt like my entire ministry and my reputation was on the line with what I was about to say. I think some of you have heard this story, and he's probably heard it 250 times. But I was meeting at Pepperell Faith Assembly of God in Pepperell, Massachusetts, and I was sitting in the back, and I was ready to speak, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and I'm floating through somebody's kitchen. I'm actually sitting in the person's kitchen, floating in the air. And I look at the cabinets in the kitchen, and they were white. And I hear, I think I heard Tuesday. I see the clock on the wall. It says 8 o'clock. I look down. There's a lady. She has her, she's crying. She has her, I think she's pounding with her left hand, and she's stretching her right hand up to God, and she's mad at God. The situation is in. So God says, when you get up there, start the meeting that way. So I get up there. I think it was a Saturday night meeting. So I stood up and I said, listen, last Tuesday at 8 o'clock, you were sitting at your kitchen table. You have white cabinets in your house. You were pounding your left hand fist on the kitchen table, and you were mad at God, and you were pointing to God with your right, shaking your fist at God with your right hand. And if that's you, come down here. There's my entire reputation right there on the line. Come on. Nobody moved. Oops. But because nobody moved doesn't mean that the word is wrong. I can't tell you how many, got to be a couple hundred of those where nobody moved, but then they come up to me after the service and they go, well, that was me. And I say, thanks. That really helped my reputation. Thank you very much. And about a minute or two later, this lady gets up walking down with tears in her eyes, and it was her, and it was all exactly the way I said it, or the Lord said it. And I was able to minister to her what God was thinking while she was doing that. Isn't that awesome how he does that? Angels. Angels can communicate with us. I was in Groton, Massachusetts. I had just gotten through the service. I was sitting, it was a Sunday service. Many of you heard this story. So how many of you haven't heard this story? Okay. I was sitting on the, I prayed for people. What service went, 2 or 3 hours or 4? I don't remember. And I was tired, and I was sitting down on the steps of sanctuary like this over here. And there was one, a rather large lady over here, and she was sitting there alone. And all of a sudden, an angel popped up behind her. Now, the way I saw this angel was, he was in light, but he had the form of a man, and he had a head and shoulders that went down, then it stopped. There wasn't anything else. And I'm thinking, that's pretty cool. And she was sitting, and the angel was kind of sitting like this, right behind her, like this. Then he starts to communicate with my mind. And he said, I'm going to help her because she's been asking me about losing weight and she wants to walk, but she doesn't have the strength to walk, so I'm going to go home with her and help her how to walk. So you tell her that. So there's still 15 or 20 people, and I said, madam, you have an angel standing right over here, and he's just talked to me. And now you should see some of the other people. They're like, you know, yeah, right, Bill. Come on. Right. Long service, tired. Been on meth for a little bit or something, you know. You know, smoked a couple of joints before you come, and now they're taking effect on you. And he said he's going to go home. Oh, it was a morning service on Sunday morning. He's going to go home, and he's going to help you. And she kind of looked at one. Actually, she thought I was nuts. So we had an evening service that night. So we had testimony time. And there was a line of people. I mean, God was moving that morning. I mean, it's like 10 or 15 people. I think that was the first hour of this thing, people just getting up to testify what the Lord had done. And I look in line, and here's this lady, and she's in sweats, and she's got her sneakers on. And she said, well, I went home, and, you know, it's like this. It says, you know, there's an expression for prophets. It's called the man of God, and you're supposed to do what the man of God says. And if it's a word from the Lord, she's got to say, well, if this is a man of God, and he tells me to do that, I better do it. So she said, went home, and she told her husband, she says, well, I'm going to go for a walk. So she went, and she put on her sweats, and she got her sneakers on, and she went to open the door. And, one part I forgot. The angel was doing this while he was saying, I'm going to help her walk. He was doing this. He was, like, pushing her. She said, and I went over to open the door, and I opened the door, and somebody pushed me out, and I turned around, and there was nobody there. And she said, I walked further than I ever had. And she was lit up. I mean, this girl was, she's probably already run about 7 marathons, but man, this girl was pumped because she knew that that angel had helped her. Y'all good? Questions? You can get revelation from the Spirit of the Lord while you're reading the Word. Something illuminates out of Scripture while you're reading it. When that happens, drop what you're doing and study what's being illuminated. Something just explodes in you when you read it. Let's say the word is grace. You know what he wants you to do? Go study everything you can find out about grace. Because he's illuminating something you might have read, 10 times. And then something just saturates inside of you. He's saying, I want this to get in you. Sometimes he'll say, go memorize the scripture. I'll memorize it. I'll come to church. Somebody will come to me and the Lord will quote that scripture to it. And they go, I was just reading that this morning. That's for me. Isn't that cool? The audible voice of God. That's possible. How many of you ever heard the audible voice of God? Raise your hand. Wow. How many of you had somebody prophesy over you? Raise your hands. You've all heard the audible voice of God. I'll say it again. Those of you that have somebody prophetically speak over you and it was true, you've actually heard the audible voice of God. He just used somebody else's voice to speak to you, but it was still audible. Prophetic utterance or action is another one. Let's turn to Acts chapter 21. Are you all with me?
Yes.
Am I going too fast for you?
No.
All right. Because my wife was here, she goes, slow down. Wait a minute. It's not Acts 21, it's Acts. That's the story of Agabus. I got the wrong scripture now. Well, I know it by heart, so I'll tell it to you. I can't remember where it is right now. It's Paul, and Agabus comes up to him, and Agabus takes his hands and he ties them up. And basically what he's saying is if you go here, you're going to be bound. And he goes, anyway. I'd have to look it up and give you the story. But sometimes a prophetic action will occur. In many cases, it's either a word of wisdom or it could be a word of knowledge. But sometimes prophets will act out things. Like me, I will certainly sometimes will act something out. I will actually do some, it would be like a dramatic thing. And that's sometimes how God speaks to us. Or you'll see me sometimes, or I remember just a while back with Kathy. She was up at the altar, and you'll see her. Say, anybody have my wife pray over you? Well, sometimes she'll do stuff, and all of a sudden she'll start stomping, or she'll start walking around you. And then sometimes I've seen her do this, and then she'll come back and she'll say, this is what the Lord is saying. And my wife's prophetic, so she'll do certain prophetic acts. And she'll get the revelation and do it that way. I'll get back to that. Physical manifestations on the body. Now, you have to be careful about this because you're wanting to have to build a relationship with the Holy Spirit and understand His ways of doing things with you before you tackle this one. But there have been times in my life, now it's not, I went through a whole season of about 3 years or 4 years where I would actually, when I was doing conferences, would feel pains on my body that I would never have before. I mean, I'm going into the conference whole and I feel terrific, and all of a sudden I would be ministering under the gifts of the Spirit, and all of a sudden I'd feel my shoulder, or all of a sudden I'd feel something in my, like an earache or something, and I knew that I was fine going in there, and I discerned that that ailment wasn't for me, but it was God letting me know that there was somebody in the building that had a problem with their shoulder. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, cool. But what you have to be careful for is, this doesn't mean it'll happen all your life. And you should never be upset when God uses you a certain way and then it just disappeared and you never see it again. He'll still do something else with you, but it'll be different. You know why? Because God's all about variety. How many of you heard the story of the woman with the artery up in Vermont? Raise your hand if you heard that story. Okay. I'm up in Vermont and I'm doing a conference, and tremendous move of God, angels in the room, all sorts of stuff going on. And all of a sudden I start getting a pain in my chest. And I knew it wasn't me. So I said, someone, you're here, you're having a chest compression right in here. And I said, come on up right now, because the Lord said, have her come up right now, and I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to heal you. And nothing. And so I just went like this. I went, well, we're not going to go any further until you come up. And if you don't come up, the service is over. Because that's what God was telling me. So after about 3 minutes of just walking like this, this lady comes up. I lay hands on her, pray for her, bang, pain's gone. Goes and sits down. That's in September, I forget what year. I want to say, I'll just pick a year. I think it was close to this. September of 1996. So then in April of 1998, a year and a half later, phone rings in my house. That was up in Vermont. This is in Raleigh. And she goes, hey, you probably don't remember me. She said, but you prayed for me about a year and a half ago up in Groton because I had a pain in my chest. And I said, I remember you. It took a long time to get up there. Well, she said, I wanted to come up, but I couldn't. And then finally my friend sitting next to me went boom like this. And she goes, he's talking about you. Get up there. But I had an angioplasty scheduled for that week. And I've had angioplasty before, and you go in and they go in through the vein, you know, with the little light. Come on. And you can actually watch it on screen, TV, reality show, right there in front of you. But they got you in an operating room in case the guy goes, oops, or something, I don't know, and they have to do open heart with you. So they're going up in there, and then all of a sudden the nurse gasps. And she goes, doctor, do you see that? And he goes, yeah, but I don't believe it. Well, what had happened was she had a closed artery here, but there was a brand new artery that had grown over it and bypassed it and attached itself to the heart. And they were freaked out. Because in the seconds it took for me to lay hands on her, God recreated a brand new artery in her. And she waited a whole year and a half to tell me. But she told me at a time where I needed to hear it. Unbelievers can speak to you. Revelation. So when we get revelation, we have to learn how to interpret what God's saying to us, and then we have to learn how to apply it. And that takes time, and that takes time for you to develop between you and the Holy Spirit. You're not going to always do it perfectly, but what you're getting from God is, remember, is what? It's a gift, so it's perfect. You just have to learn how to exercise the perfection God's giving you, and it's His job, because He'll teach you all things. Remember we talked about that? He'll teach you all things. So He's going to teach you. He's going to be your teacher. He's the one. He's the paraclete. He's the one who comes alongside of you and walks with you and gives you this stuff so He can teach you how to even be more like Jesus in your operation of the gifts. Amen? Because sometimes as I got in my later years, I can walk into Hope Chapel on a Sunday morning and I can get 15 or 20 words of knowledge on people. Not all the time. And a lot of people won't come near me because they think I'm looking right through them and I know something. Come on. And I know something about them. I remember one time in Bible school, we had this move of God in the chapel after, we used to call them after chapel services in my senior year. If I sat in the front row and I didn't get up to go to lunch, there'd be 15 or 20 people sitting there waiting because they're figuring something's going to happen. And it usually did. So I was, and we got through this one thing and we were all laughing. And I'm sitting on the stage and we're laughing because the thickness of God in the room is tremendous. And we were talking about some of the stuff that was going on. And there's this freshman girl over here. She's now a junior or something, just near the end of her junior year. And she starts laughing. And I had a word for her, and it was targeted right onto her. And she said, you don't know this. She said, but I've been running for a year and a half away from you because I thought you could see about my sin or something in my life, and I didn't want it exposed. Well, I can't do that unless God shows me. And I don't always speak everything I see. But that's an art you get to. I've had words and knowledge on people and waited a year and a half to give it to them. Comments? Questions?
Okay.
Yes.
On this list over here is mainly, you know, from Neil's classes.
Yeah.
If it's from God, it's usually good.
No.
Okay. That was
well, it is.
Yeah.
90% of the time, it's good. It has to be, a lot of that stuff has to be handled by prophetic people.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean anybody else can't. But we get the pass of putting ammonia underneath your nose. I would probably say Neil's correct about 90% of the time. But normally, when God brings anything of correction, there's always redemption. Let me say it again. Even in the prophetic, speaking from that ministry gift and office, whenever something comes that's tough, it has to have a redemptive value in it. It's never meant to bring condemnation. Sometimes he'll bring some form of discipline because Hebrews 12:7 says discipline is needed because it produces the peaceful fruits of righteousness to those who are trained by it. And then it goes on to talk about scourging. God disciplines and scourges.
Sounds like fun.
Because sometimes he'll discipline us and sometimes he'll use... I remember one time I was doing a service not far from here back in the early 2000s, and it was three sections just like this in the church. This one was a little more this way. And I'm up at the pulpit like this, and I'm praying for people and everything. And this girl over here, she's about 35 years old, and I knew her. She gets up and starts to walk towards the altar for prayer, and I turned around to her and I went, "Madam," I said, "are you ready to repent for your rebellion?" She went like this, went right down on the ground, started to sob before the Lord, and God did a wonderful work in her.
The Bible example, like the Jesus example of that, is what the way he talked to the Pharisees.
Yes.
Like
go ahead.
To someone looking on, they would think he's being very harsh.
Right.
But from his perspective, the Pharisees were in the worst danger of anybody Jesus talked to because they didn't realize they needed to be rescued. And so what would appear harsh to an onlooker was really aimed at rescuing them even though they didn't see it. So they needed the most stern warning of anyone because they were in the most danger. So I don't think it's a shame about Jesus talking.
Yeah, it would be like this. It would be... And we could, this is after the healing of the centurion in Matthew chapter 8. And Jesus heard and marveled about the centurion, about his faith. And he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have found not such a great faith, not even in Israel. And I say that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Well, guess what? You and I are the sons of the kingdom. We're sons of God. Well, you can misinterpret that and really screw something up. Because the Jewish or the Pharisees called themselves the sons of the kingdom. Because they saw themselves as the only ones that had ownership of that covenant with God. The Gentiles were called the sons of Gehenna. So they called the Gentiles, who were like dogs to them, basically the sons of Gehenna or the sons of hell. And what Jesus was saying is, no, you guys are the ones heading for the lake of fire, and these are the ones that I'm going to pick out. Are you with me? Then you have this other thing called progressive revelation. And progressive revelation in the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom or any other way in which God leads you can be that the first action you take can unlock a door that has much more behind it. So let's go back to this situation. You go and you pray for them. Then all of a sudden, he expands everything in that subject area. And then he starts showing you things in their past. He starts showing you other stuff. Then you're going to just keep unfolding as long as God keeps you unfolding. Do you follow me? We know in part and we prophesy in part. Well, word of knowledge always will have an end to it somewhere, and you have to discern when you don't step over the boundary lines of giving revelation to people. You don't have to be afraid of it. Now, if I'm sitting here and I'm talking to Joe, and I'm dealing with the revelation, and I'm going by facial expression. Give me a deadpan look.
Good job.
And well, that's good. And so I'm sitting here, and Joe's giving me a deadpan look, and I'm thinking, and my natural man comes into it because I'm not operating out of faith now. I'm not operating knowing I'm under the God. It doesn't have to make any sense to me. You understand? What you say to somebody doesn't have to make sense to you. It makes sense to God. And I start doing it, and Joe's over there going, you know, like this. And all of a sudden I go, well, and then I start adding things to see if I can get the expression on his face to change. Now I've overextended my supernatural stuff. So you don't go by what people's faces look like. You go by what you're supposed to say. But progressive revelation, and this is my term, this is not, you're not going to find that in the Bible. You're not going to find it talking to other people. I just got this one day. It means, it's basically, the picture I got was, there was a closet, and I gave one word, open the closet, and everything else fell out of the closet. And he opens the door. Sometimes what I've said in 5 seconds determined the next 4 to 6 hours of ministry. I mean, more than once. Just by doing the one act that I was commanded to do, brought that. One time I was at a church, and it was a Sunday morning, and I wasn't preaching, the pastor was preaching, and I heard the Lord say, there's three people here I want to put the fire of God on. And he showed me the three people sitting in the audience. So being respectful of authority, I walked up to him during the worship, and I said, Pastor, I said, I got this word on setting people free. Well, he knew I was a prophet, so I had a fairly free reign, but that doesn't mean I overstepped my boundary lines of authority. And I went and sat down again, and he had the option whether to call on me or not. And he did, and I went up there, and I said, there's three people God wants to touch. It's you, you, and you. So the three people come up. I laid hands on them. Boom. They went out, and they started. You could tell the fire of God was on them. And then the Lord said, call anybody else that wants that. That's another progression. Whole mess of other people come up. I laid hands on them. It was like stacking cordwood up there at the altar. Then, for the next 2.5 hours, I prayed for the sick, and there were reports of somewhere up to 27 people being healed. By what? By just the command to go and do this one act produced almost, we didn't get out of there until like 2:30 in the afternoon. Word of knowledge, here we go. Word of knowledge is a supernatural fact, a word, a discourse between you and God of some form of God's knowledge, not all the knowledge of God, part of the knowledge of God, whatever knowledge he wants to give to you. If you guys believe there's going to be a flash flood of finances coming to you, I'm just going to lay hands on you. And I don't want you, in Jesus' name, some of this has gone through your generations. Some of this has gone in through your generations. that it's always going to be this way. It isn't. It's not going to be. You got my name, Billy. It's not going to be this way with you. It's nothing that you're doing. God is going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. It's not because you're good or bad. You just have to receive what I'm praying over you now. And Holy Ghost, give them an exceeding abundance. Show them, God, that you are their providers. You are their providers. They do not need to worry about what they will eat, what they will drink. If you provide for the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, you are going to provide for them in excess because they are your children. And Father, I declare and decree that over them in the name of Jesus. A word of knowledge is a supernatural fact pertaining to things past or present. This is going to distinguish between the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Pertaining to things past or present that are revealed by the Spirit to an individual. Simply put, you will know something that you didn't know before. Now, a word of knowledge can come to you for you, and a word of knowledge can come to you for you to give to somebody else. A word of knowledge can come to you to know something to pray about somebody else. Doesn't mean you have to release it. And that's part of the training that the Spirit of the Lord will teach you. I want you to go say that to the person. I just wanted to let you know that. About that person. Why? He doesn't have to tell you. How many of you are prayer warriors? You should be asking for the revelation gifts of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Because those are things that God wants to use you in sometimes to be able to intercede for those people. If you've got the quality of character to handle without using that as a point of gossip. And if God gives you something internal in a word of knowledge or anything else that you know something about nobody else, don't ever gossip about it. Because your chances of getting another word of knowledge are probably zero, none, and none, and none. Because He's not giving you to use it in Adamic ways. He's using it to give it to you in spiritual ways. Are you with me? You will know in part, and you have a limitation in what you're knowing to just speak what you know. Don't exceed it. Are you with me? All right. And the word that you speak to somebody does not have to make any sense. Sometimes God can speak to you and it doesn't have to make any sense. But if you know it's from God, you just receive it. One of the ways you see this is go read the fourth chapter of John. I think Brian covered it in one of his sermons. He was talking about the woman of the well. He said, go get your husband. And she's had, what, 5 husbands. He didn't know that before he got there. He knew it because the Spirit of the Lord told him that. And the man you're with now is not your husband. She hears one word of knowledge, goes into the city, and says, come and see the man who told me all these things. And basically, you have a citywide revival from one word of knowledge. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? I was doing a tent meeting up in Spencerport, New York, and I was getting a picture of this girl with bare feet. And I'm sitting there, and there's the crowds are coming up. I've had my lines of prayer, and I felt like I should just walk up and down and pray in tongues, and the crowds were pressed up to see if there was any more ministry that was going to be done. And as I began to pray in the Spirit, as I was walking back and forth, I saw this girl in bare feet. And I'm thinking, there's nobody here. And so I kind of looked over like this, and I'm looking at all the people, and there's no bare feet. And I'm going, so under my breath, I'm going, well, Holy Ghost, you're showing me this picture. What do you want me to do? And then from the second row, this girl just goes like this and falls right out face first. She just goes boom. And she's not coming from the first row. She's sitting in the second row, and she's like this, and then boom, she goes, and she's got bare feet. So now I walk up to her and I see the demonic influence of fear and witchcraft on her family. So I begin to prophesy over her. And I said, there's like four generations. And I said, your mother in the fourth generation, or your great-grandmother in the fourth generation was a witch. And when she took up witchcraft, it's affected every generation, including you now. And I turned to her and I said, is that true? And she went like this. She went, no. And I knew that it was a word from the Lord. And I said, well, that's a word from the Lord. I can't do anything about it. So everybody left after the meeting. After the meeting, her sister brings her up and says, you were right on. There was exactly that many generations. We just never told her. So he gave me a word of knowledge. He showed me these feet. Then he knocked her out. That's how that works. Now here we come with wisdom. This is critical not only in just a word of wisdom, but it's critical, and we'll probably just not get past this one. Wisdom for a Christian is the principle or the primary or the first thing that sits at the top of the list for every Christian. In all of your getting, you want to get spiritual wisdom, because Proverbs says, 4:7 says, wisdom is the principle. Principle meaning first in rank. First in rank. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is supreme intelligence. Wisdom is supreme intelligence in its simplest form. You're going to have the mind of God at that moment. Don't get any better than that. It's going to be insight into divine purpose. And it's going to be right application. So wisdom is supreme intelligence. It's insight into the divine purposes of God. And it's the right application of what that purpose is. Another way to put this is wisdom is the highway of application in order to bring the revelation to fulfillment. And it pertains to the insight into something God's going to do. It may be a form of instruction. It may be a vision. But it's going to bring about something. Therefore, it is something that is going to happen, which makes word of wisdom future and word of knowledge past or present. So when you're dealing with things past and present, you're dealing with a word of knowledge. When you're dealing with a word of wisdom, you're dealing with something that's futuristic in nature. Now you got me. Elijah, Naaman telling the Syrian commander in 2 Kings 6 to go jump in the river and he'll be clean of leprosy. Naaman turns around and says, don't you have any cleaner rivers than that? And then the servant girl that's with him says, I think you ought to do what this guy's telling you to do. He goes and he jumps into the river and his skin comes out as a baby's, basically. And he's completely cured of a leprosy. He didn't go in and jump in it four times. He had to go and do it exactly seven times. And then when he came out of the water, he said, now I know that there's a God in Israel. So don't remember, these gifts can bring people to Christ in abundance, because now they know there is a God, because there's no way that information can be known. My niece came to the Lord through a word of knowledge I had for her one day. Bang, it was all over. Teresa was healed because after I prayed for her at our house, she got up and walked down the thing, and I saw her touching the mailbox up the street, which was impossible for her to do. And I said, go touch the mailbox, because I knew if she could walk out and touch the mailbox, she would be healed, because a word of wisdom is perfect. And if it's obeyed, it will bring about the fulfillment of the revelation. She went up and touched the mailbox. She was healed. Cool stuff, huh? Ugh. There was another one at that same tent meeting. It was a Sunday night. It was a Sunday morning service. And this lady came up and she was having all her husband had left her. He was starting to run around with another woman. He had been away. They had like three or four kids in the family. And she wanted prayer. So I just said, well, here, just grab my hands and I'll start praying for you. And I said to her, I saw her going over to her house. And I said, I want you to take this oil. I want you to go home and get any oil in your house. And I want you to go anoint all the doorposts of your house. And I want you to declare God's house over this house. Go do that. She goes and does it. That afternoon, her husband comes back, repents. That afternoon, she comes back that night with her husband and her three or four kids. And they get up and give the testimony. Now, they're all sitting over here like this, and they're giving the testimony. And this is really cool. And I can feel it right now. And while they're doing that, the Holy Ghost is loading shotgun shells of power into my arm. I mean, he literally shows me this. It's like he goes like this, and my arm goes like, you know, becomes like the electro plant or something. And he shoots these shells into my arm, meaning whatever this is going to touch, something's going to happen. So I said, all of you, grab hands and hold hands with each other. And I went over and I just put my hand on this lady like this, and they all went, and they all just fell out like that. It was just fun. The thought or the word of wisdom can be personal to you, letting you have insight into something yet to happen, but will remain personal to you. It can be a command to speak something that instructs another to do something so that the purpose of God may be fulfilled, or a physical action on your part that produces a divine fulfillment. Like he says, go and do this. Just go and do it. Come on, go and do it. You may know why, you may not know why, but you always have to obey the voice of God when you know it's the voice of God, whether you can figure it out or not. If I think of all the signs and wonders and miracles I've seen in my life, this story had the most profound effect on my heart, and I'm going to finish with this and we'll stop there. I was working for Federal Express in 1992. And I was delivering packages, and I was up in a town called Ayer, Massachusetts. A-Y-E-R. And so I was delivering packages, and I was over by a lake, and they held all these little teeny lake houses that the roads were only 100, 200 feet to the shore, and there might be two houses on this side or two or three, and then there was the lake there. And there was a series of these roads. And I was delivering over there, and I came out, and all of a sudden, I was delivering at this one house, and I looked down over here, and there's this another house, and there was a young woman and two or three kids, and they were all about 3 or 4 years old or 5 years old, and they're all running around. And the Holy Ghost said to me, give her $700. Well, I didn't have $700 in my wallet. But I'm usually obedient to God. So I went, have you ever thought you disobeyed God in something, but you really didn't? Well, here's the case. So I went home, and normally what I would have done is I would have gotten the $700 out, and I would have gone back to the house and knocked on the door next time around and said, the Lord told me to give this to you. I don't have any problem giving money away when God tells me to do that. But for some reason, I didn't do it. And for some reason, the thought left me. Then in 2004, 12 years later, I'm living here in Raleigh, one of my friends was a teacher, and he was retiring from teaching for 30 years, and this was my head intercessor when I had my ministry up there. So I was going to fly up to New England on the following Friday and go to his retirement party and stay up for the weekend. So on Tuesday morning at 4:30 in the morning, before that Friday, I come flying up out of bed, and I'm waking up as I come up, and in a vision, I see the house from 12 years ago. And the Holy Ghost says, what about the $700? He waits 12 years, and he goes, what about the 700 bucks? And I almost freaked out. I mean, come on. And he said, I want you to go up to that house. So I go up there. Now, I haven't been up in that area in 12 years. So I go up there, and I'm pulling into the Marriott Hotel in Worcester, which is about 20 miles away, and I'm thinking, well, how do I get there? I don't even remember where it was. So I walk into the convenience store, and it's the only convenience store I've ever been in 71 years, where one whole wall of the convenience store is maps. I mean, they're all staring at me, and the ghost is going, this will help you. So I grab a map of Massachusetts. And I kind of remembered where air was, but you know, you lose your way. Come on, you go back, you lose your way a little. So I'm driving up there, and I'm thinking I'm on this road. It's 110, 111, and I'm driving up, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I'm going to be able to find this. And he goes, oh, I see. So I wake you up at 4:30 in the morning, last Tuesday, and I talk to you after 12 years to go give him this money, and I can't get you to the house. And I went, oh, okay. So I finally find the lake, so I get up there, and I turn down the first street, and it's called Hedgeway. H-E-D-G-W-A-I. So I go, Hedgeway. So I drive down Hedgeway, I don't see the house. I come up, make another right, go down about a tenth of a mile, make another right on Ledgeway. Hedgeway. It's not on that street. Now I'm getting discouraged. And then there was one more, and I can't remember what that was. And then finally, I get up, and I was about to quit. And all of a sudden, I sensed I was supposed to go down to one more street. And I go down to the next street, Hedgeway, Ledgeway, something else. And this street was called the W-R-I-G-H-T-W-A-Y, the right way. If you have children, it's okay. Here they come. Yes, that's good. Thank you. So it's called the right way. So I go down, and there's this kid. He's about senior high age, and he is hitting a hockey puck against the garage door because hockey's big up in Massachusetts. You have no idea what God's going to do. And I say, did you live here 12 years ago? I took my car, drove down, turned around, pulled my car right up beside and the rental car I had, and I said, did you live here 12 years ago? And he said, yes. And the glory of God just filled the car, and I went, oh my goodness. And I said, run in and get your mother. I have something to say to her. So I parked my car, and I started walking. It was an A-frame house. I start walking towards the house. Now, what I don't know is one of the little kids is now a teenage girl, and she's up there, and she's got her friend over, and they're up in her bedroom right above the front door with the window open, so she's about to hear everything I'm about to say. So I walk up to her, and I said, 12 years ago, I came here, and the Lord told me to give you $700, and I forgot to do it. And then he woke me up last Tuesday because I had to fly up here, and I was telling her the story, and he woke me up at 4:30 in the morning and said, for me to come here and give you $700. And she turns around, and she goes, this is God. This is God. This is God. That's all she said. This is God. Come on in. Come on into the house. Come on into the house. No, the husband wasn't there. This is God. So I go into the house, and she sits down, and she gets her children around. And she's going, this is God. And I'm thinking, okay, lady, this is God. I got it. And so I start to tell the story to the children. And they all start to cry. And I told the story, but then I realized I had forgotten to bring my checkbook. So I said to her, I'm going to go home, I'm flying back on Monday, and I'm going to FedEx overnight the check. You'll have it by Tuesday morning. And she kept going, this is God, thank you so much. And the girl upstairs coming down, she's got tears in her eyes, and her friend that came over has got tears in her eyes, and they're all sitting there. And so she said, would you pray a blessing over us? And I wound up speaking and prophesying over the household and declaring things abundance and all that. And I walked away, and I said, I felt so full of God. You know, come on. But I wondered, why did he wait 12 years? You know, I never got that answer, but who cares, right? So I'm driving back, and I'm preaching at the church about 30 miles away, and I wanted to say hello to the youth pastor, so I went in, and I sat down in his office, and I began to tell him the story. And right in the middle of the story, the Holy Ghost speaks to me, and he says this. He said, if you would have given them $700 at the moment I said, it wouldn't have done what I just did. What you don't know was, she has been, since they've been born, telling them that God is going to be their provider. And he said, I waited until they were of age where they could really, really grasp what I wanted you to do. So I waited until they were 17 or 18 years and they were without the mortgage for the house and you brought it up there. And I was just overwhelmed. Because the reason he waited, because the perfection was coming over here. And I don't think in my entire life, of all the ministry I've done, anything touched, you had to have been there, come on. But nothing touched me like this. Can you imagine him waiting 12 years, waking you up and said, what about the $700? Just stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Shandamuki sandu. Sandamakasata. You just need to receive this, because this is coming from the Lord. This is coming from the Lord. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to figure it out. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is your great provider. He's going to reveal things to you that are so marvelous, you're going to hardly be able to believe Him. All you have to do is believe that He can do these things. And He doesn't even have to show you the blessings that He's going to provide for you. But He's going to make Himself. Listen to what I'm saying to you. He's going to make Himself awesome in your life. Because He can't be anything but awesome. Because He's an awesome God. And He deserves nothing to make you believe and praise and glorify Him. Lift your hands up and begin to give God the glory in your life. And just receive this from Him. Don't focus on your sicknesses. Focus on God because He's a healer. Don't focus on finances. Because focus on God because He's Jehovah Jireh. Don't focus on warfare. Focus on victory because He's the Lord your banner. Believe Him. Believe Him for things that are too hard to believe. Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him. Who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Now to Him. Not to you. To Him. Don't put a period behind another person's name. Don't put a period behind your son and daughter. Put a comma. Don't put a period behind your situation. Put a comma. Stop putting periods behind things and start to put commas. Well, God, I believe You've given me the gifts of healing and I haven't seen it. Begin to declare it out of your mouth. Begin to worship Him. Begin to say, Lord, give me opportunities for that. But then when He gives them, go do it. You can even do it scared, but do it. Shanda maki sonda masoto. Well, I'm not hearing that well. The Lord's going to heal your hearing tonight. He's going to heal your hearing. Just receive it. Some of you have lost partial hearing in your ear. He's going to heal it tonight in Jesus' name. Just receive it. Don't try to figure it out. Just receive the healing and believe He's going to do it. Whew, thank You, God. Glory to Your name, Father. Glory to Your name. Glory to Your name. God didn't bring you to this class for you to sit God brought you here because He's equipping you for the work of ministry. The Holy Spirit is pleased with your obedience. The Holy Spirit is pleased that you're taking this stuff down and you're studying it. He isn't going to have you just come and sit here. He is filling you with these equipping things. The warfare that Neil's teaching, the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, all the things that He's teaching. Some of you have been coming and you have to see this. It's going to be like a broadcast spreader. We're here just spreading seed to you. And that seed is going into you and it's going to germinate because it's good ground. Don't get into unbelief because unbelief will turn your soil into red clay. When God speaks to you like this, don't harden your heart. Don't let the enemy steal your seed. Some of you just have to ask God for the gift of faith. It's like the boy with the father with the demoniac boy. Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Helping with your unbelief is asking God for the gift of faith so you can believe for great and mighty things. And I give you praise, Lord. I give you praise, Lord. I command bursitis to go in the name of Jesus. Bursitis to go in the name of Jesus. I come against arthritis and I command it to go in the name of Jesus. I come against stomach conditions and I command them to go in the name of Jesus. Acid reflux, I curse it right now in the name of Jesus. And I command it to go in the name of Jesus. There's one of you that are going to be listening to this by tape. There's somebody in your family that has a cross eye. I want you to go lay hands on that person with the cross eye, and God's going to straighten the eye out. I want you to believe for it. Woo! Sandamakusata. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord and just begin to pray in the Spirit. It's okay. Fill them up, God. Fill them up, Lord. I give you praise, Father. One of you have been praying about going on a mission trip or evangelistic trip, and you're wondering if that's you. And if you've been wondering that, and it's been bouncing back and forth, you don't have to have it bounce back and forth again. The Lord's going to speak go to you, and you can go in faith. You don't have to try to figure it out. Right, and after the meeting, if you want to, listen, I'm telling you, the glory of the Lord's in here. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I want you to go over here with Neil and step out after the service, and God's going to fill you up, and you need that. Let me tell you something. Don't ever listen to anybody that doesn't tell you. Jesus Himself, the King of the universe, said, you are going to receive power when that happens to you. Period. End of conversation. Power. It isn't of the devil. I worked for the devil for 35 years. I never spoke in tongues. Amen? Amen. All right, let's say it. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you are dismissed.